Waymaker number nine, see your today crises as tomorrow's faith builders. We salute you, we greet you in the name of the Holy One. His name is Jesus, and he is our Christ. And we're so thankful for his presence, the sacred privilege of worship. We're thankful to come, have been brought by him to his word. And what a blessing it is to share a word from the Lord. May our hearts be open. May our hearts receive his word in a way that we'd be willing, ready, willing to do what we hear. Save us, deliver us, O God, from hardened hearts. In the blessed name of Jesus. Waymaker number nine. And finally, we have come to the end of the series. Bless the name of the Lord. I can confess openly that the Lord has been doing a beautiful thing in my personal life. And I'm trusting and praying that our journey together through this text has made a difference in your life, so that you and I and the new Maywood Church of Christ together will never be the same, but better and strengthened in such a way that the Lord is taking us, carrying us to the next level. See your today crises as tomorrow's faith builders. See your today crises as tomorrow's faith builders. I want to begin by putting a few questions on the blackboards of your mind. Question number one. How are you dealing with the reality that God may not fix your situation the way you want him to? Question number two. Has it been tough for you, like me, to put all of your trust in God when he may not come through for us the way we first hoped that he would? Question number three. Do you have skirmishes with God, issues, challenges with God, who promises deliverance, but then allows his children to walk through the tough times without changing the circumstances? Hold on, beloved. Quit. Never. In real life, we are in between pre-COVID and post-COVID. Our beloved Minister Murphy has been encouraging us. We are in transition. even though we don't understand everything about the ways of God, one thing seems to be crystal clear, and that is everything you and I face now is preparing us for something else in the future. God wants to mature your faith, not just for our current crises, but also for crises to come. If we do not learn the faith lesson or lessons now, we will face the same test over and over and over and over again until we do. See your crises, your today crises, as tomorrow's faith builders. Now, as we think together about our quadruple pandemic, has your faith been increased or decreased? I almost want to say, or stay the same, but that's not really a reality. Has your faith been increasing or decreasing? You do remember, church, that trials and troubles are dumbbells and treadmills for the soul. They develop strength. They grow stamina. Exodus chapter 14 ends by noting how the Israelites benefited from their narrow or 11th hour escape and deliverance. It beefed up their fear and it beefed up their faith. Verse 31 says, when Israel saw the great power of the Lord, the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. Notice with me, church, faith has an increasing or a growing quality about it. Our faith grows stronger through the events or the experiences of our lives. What is faith exactly? Some time ago, a gunman walked into a Baptist church and shot several people. One of the people who was shot was a 14-year-old young lady named Cassie. As I read the story of the brief account of her life, her parents told the interviewer that Cassie collected frog figurines, frog trinkets, frog jewelry. And according to them, the word frog summed up Cassie's philosophy of life, because it defined an acrostic that says, fully rely on God. Frog. Fully rely on God. And what What, if you will, what a fitting definition of faith. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 45, when Mary visits with her relative Elizabeth, she cried out, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20. Faith from Luke 1 is believing that what the Lord has said to us will be accomplished. I said faith is believing that what the Lord has said to us will be accomplished. Are you there in Romans 4, verse 20?
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief.
Abraham staggered not. Read.
But was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Giving glory to God. Read on.
And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Faith is being fully persuaded that God has power enough to perform or to do what God promises. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 23.
For there stood by me this night the angel of God.
There stood by me this night an angel. Read.
Whose I am and who I serve.
Uh-huh.
Saying, "Fear not, Paul.
Yeah.
Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee."
Read.
Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.
Just as it was told me. Did you get that? Bible faith is believing that things will happen just as God told us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 11, the Bible says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who has promised. Let's put it all together. Stay with me. Faith is believing that what the Lord has said to us will be accomplished. Faith being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. Faith is believing that things will happen just as God has told us. Faith is considering God faithful who has given us promises. Faith means that we trust God because of who he is and what he has promised. Amen, anyhow. And isn't it kind of curious to observe that we live by faith every single day of our lives? We get in our cars and we expect them to start and take us safely to where we're going. We're sitting right now on a chair that did not collapse. When we take showers, we expect that hot water, preferably, or warm water at least, is going to flow. Don't you see? God created the universe so that the faith principle is always at work. Faith, one writer says, is making reasonable assumptions about God's care and control over all that he has created based on his revealed promises. The Hebrew writer says, the evidence of things not seen. We may not understand, we may not appreciate every situation or every circumstance, but God has given us his promises. Yes, he has. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, what does the Bible say?
And he arose and rebuked the winds.
He arose and rebuked the winds.
And said unto the sea, Peace be still.
Peace be still. Read.
And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Did you see what the wind did? The wind ceased. Read. Verse 40.
And he said unto them, why are you so fearful?
Why are you afraid?
How is it that ye have no faith?
How is it that you still have no faith? Look, beloved, could it be that we disappoint God when we question his ability to keep his word? See, faith is capable of being quantified. One person's faith may be great, may be turbocharged, while another person's faith is sputtering as though it's on one cylinder. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible says, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In verse number 26 of the same chapter, Matthew 8, 26, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. You see, God rewards faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God loves to respond to spiritual frauds. Now, let's shift to fearing the Lord just for a minute. What does it mean to fear the Lord, beloved? Awesome question. The little research we've done, it's to wholly respect the Lord. Holy respect. Holy respect. It's to hold God in reverence, in awe. He's majestic. And it's based, fearing the Lord is based on two things, who he is and what he can do. Who he is and what he can do. You see, once we see who God is, faith and what he can do, faith is the right and the appropriate response. Notice in verse 30 of the text of Exodus 14. Israel saw what God did. Amen. He saw the power of the Egyptians as they chased Israel. And then Israel saw the power of God because at the end of the journey, they saw the dead bodies of Israel from the seashore. Israel saw what God did, and once God is clearly seen, faith is the right response. When you and I acknowledge God for who he is and what God can do, that's the foundation That's building block number one for great faith. Now they were able. Now they were empowered to take whatever faith they had and use it in the future. Did they? Let's flip ahead to Exodus chapter 15. And let's look at verses 22 through 24. Exodus 15, beginning at verse 22.
So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea.
Israel brought Israel from the Red Sea.
And they went out into the wilderness of Sir.
Uh-huh.
And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water.
They found no water. Read.
And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah.
Read.
And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he
All
made.
All right, read.
There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them.
All right, or he tested them. See, what you and I focus on influences our faith. God wants his people to focus on him. And when the people of God focus on God, the people of God grow in faith. Now, don't miss this. The only way Israel could reach their destination was by going through the wilderness. And there's a strong point right here. Although you and I might experience wilderness situations in our lives, we are not necessarily outside of the will of God. 3 days into the wilderness, and Israel had another water challenge. They could not find any. And when they did, it was bitter. How did they respond? They grumbled to Moses. Doesn't that kind of raise your eyebrows? Given all that God had done for them up to this point, they respond with negativity. What makes this negativity so acidic? Their previous crisis involved a water situation for which there had been no solution in sight either. Yet, they immediately foresaw doom for themselves. Can I talk to you for a minute? We doubt what God can do only because we forget what God has done. God is a way maker. Remember that. Always. God is a way maker. In verse number 25, watch this. So he cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. When he threw it into the water became drinkable. The Lord made a statute and ordinance for them at Marah, and he tested them there. He tested them there. Watch, don't miss the purpose of God. He tested them because he expected Israel to learn from their previous water challenge at the Red Sea. And so demonstrating miraculous deliverance right before their eyes was in fact God's way of telling Israel, this is going to be on the test. Be ready, Israel, to draw on the knowledge and the experience of the Red Sea to apply it into a future Red Sea situation. Israel earned an F when the pop quiz of the bitter water was placed on them. I say again, beloved, faith is a growing life. Faith is a growing life. Our God has in view, our God intends to develop us spiritually. Just like any good teacher, he reveals truth when he devises, when he makes up tests to review and to reinforce the truth, to translate that truth into lasting life change. Like any good coach, like any good teacher, God sits down with his people using the playbook of sacred scripture. He gives us the information that we need. He explains the directive. He reviews the moves. And then comes the scrimmage. And then another. And then another. And then another. Really, it's an ongoing cycle. But in the process, baptized believers become skilled and growing disciples. Amen, anyhow. And little faith grows into great faith. I said, and little faith grows into great faith. With the Israelites, God gave them instructions through his servant Moses. Then he brought them to the brink of the Red Sea. And later into the desert with no water. And he said, now here's a test. Let's see if you can apply my promises to your problem. Jesus taught his disciples on the mountain and then loaded them into a boat and sent them to the other side, right smack dab into a turbulent storm designed to help them apply the truth they had been taught on the mountain in their future. Well, the same is true for you and I. In worship, in Bible classes, we hear the word of God. In our personal and private devotion times, we feed on the word of God, and then God sends a trial into our lives to give us an opportunity to put his teachings into practice. As we believe and as we trust him and pass the test, what happens, church? Our faith grows. Amen. Our lives are changed for the better, and we are strengthened for the future. What are you saying, preacher? When our faith grows, when we choose to apply the promises of God to today's problems and use the experiences to mature us for tomorrow's Red Seas. We never encounter a situation for which God has not already provided a precious promise to deliver us and to carry us through the Red Sea situation, no matter what it is. Someone has said, faith lives in a promise like fish live in water. Let's look in the Bible again to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 20.
Verse number 15.
What does the Bible say at verse 15?
And he said.
He said what?
Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
Thus said the Lord unto you.
Here's what the Lord said unto you.
Be not afraid nor dismayed by reasons of this great multitude.
Why?
For the battle is not yours.
The battle is not yours.
But God's.
But God's. Do you need a promise? Are you in a situation right now where the circumstances got you thinking that the battle is yours? The battle is not yours. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. How you like that for a promise? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There had no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way. How you like that for a promise? But for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Did you hear that? How you like that for a promise? No matter what we go through, it doesn't matter what we are going through. God is a way maker. And he's going to work it out so that we benefit on the other side. Be anxious for nothing, church. Don't you worry about a thing. Pray about it. And let your request be made known unto God. And with thanksgiving and supplication. And the Bible says, and the peace of God will set up a fortress around your mind and your heart. In Mark chapter 11, come on, help me read. Mark chapter 11, verse number 23. What does the Bible say?
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed,
and be thou
cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said.
How you like that for a promise, church? Speak it. Believe it, and it's done. Speak it, believe it, and it's done. I'll go a step further. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll go a step further. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and begin reading, please, at verse number 8.
Verse number 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
Watch this. There's a myth out there, and I just quoted a verse that suggests that God will not put upon you more than you're able. And we've We've heard that. I've said it, as a matter of fact, at times, and I had to repent of that. Right? Because this text shows us one of the reasons why God sends or allows trials to come our way into our lives. There's a myth among some Christians that God will not put on you more than you can bear. That's a myth. Because if there ever was a hopeless situation, Paul was in one, and it says so right here in the text. He had not done anything to cause it. In fact, the truth be told, he had followed God's leadership straight into the place of despair. And so if you're feeling despair today, if depression is knocking on your door and despair is about to kick the door in, you are in good company. Stop stressing. Start trusting. Just because you're struggling, don't give up. Keep standing. God sometimes allows situations in our lives to appear hopeless. And that's because God himself is trying to lead us to direct our focus onto him. I know sometimes we feel like giving up, or we don't publicize it. Nobody goes around church, amen, and say, I feel like giving up. That kind of Holy Spirit honesty is still on its way, right? The truth be told, you and I may feel like giving up. I felt like giving up. And it's in times like those, I have to remind myself, I will never quit. Giving up doesn't remove the situation. You may feel like giving up, but because you just can't seem to fix the situation you're in, and no one you know can fix it either. Hello? All of your human resources are used up. Read verse 9 and verse 10. Brother Titan, please. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 9. What does the Bible say?
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
We despaired with life. Read.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves.
Yeah.
That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God.
We should not trust in ourselves.
But in God, which raised
the dead. But in God.
Who raised the dead.
Thank you, Titan, for putting up with me. Read verse 10. We should not trust in ourselves. That's the point. That's a hard point. Not trust in yourself, but in God, who has the power to raise the dead. God has the power to do whatever he promises. Read verse 10, Titan.
Who delivered us from so great a death.
And doth deliver.
Yes, sir. In whom we trust that he will deliver us.
We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again. In order to take the Apostle Paul deeper in faith, God put him in a situation that his resume, his abilities, his connections could not change the circumstances. Hello? Why? So that Paul would learn to trust God even more than he had done up until then. God's not being mean. It might feel like it sometimes, because in times like these of helplessness and of despair, we see no way up, we see no way out, we see no way over, yet God somehow raises the dead for you. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. God becomes, in those moments, it's right there. God becomes more real to you, to me, in a fresh way. I know you're going through some stuff. I'm talking to some people who is going through some stuff. And your heart is heavy laden. I'm talking to you. Let me just talk to you for a minute. Seek God. Even though situations in life got you struggling, don't take your eyes off of him. Don't be ashamed of your pain. I don't know. I came to Maywood preaching how I can't stand pain. Now, 12 years later, pain has become a friend. Don't be ashamed of your pain. Don't be afraid of the despair that you might feel. Paul himself felt it. Don't deny your emotions. Just turn them over to God. Just turn them over to God. And look to the one who knows how to raise the dead. Believing, trusting, he himself will breathe life into your more than you can bear situation. Say amen, somebody. God will breathe life into your more than you can bear situation. Let me put it this way. Present circumstances are purposed to be preparation for future challenges. Present circumstances are purposed to be preparation for future challenges. Let's begin to close. I invite your attention now to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17.
Then said he unto the disciples. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come.
Listen, man, offenses are going to come.
It were better for him.
Ain't everything. Let me preach. Wait a minute, Titan, please. You and I ain't gonna like everything that comes down the pipe. And there are things that are going to offend us. Say amen, church. Things are not always going to go our way and we're going to take offense. Woe, he says, woe unto the people that those offenses come by, right? Read.
It were better for him that a millstone hanged about his neck. And he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
Here's the point. Model a higher standard of influence. Right? Model a higher standard of influence. In other words, watch yourself. Because others are watching you. Read verse 3, verse 4.
Take heed to yourselves.
Take heed to yourself.
If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Mm-hmm. And if he repent, forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day,
mm-hmm.
and then 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, mm-hmm. I repent, thou shalt forgive him.
Yeah. All right. Here's the point. We're getting there. The point is to model a higher standard of reconciliation. Make the effort to see others in the best possible light. I'm preaching now. I'm closing, but I'm preaching still. We forgive by choice. We choose to forgive because we have been forgiven by grace. See, if you don't understand, your forgiveness is not free. Now you are willing to choose to forgive. Okay, let's read 5 and 6 then. You didn't like that part.
And the apostle said unto the Lord,
uh-huh.
Increase our faith.
Increase. Isn't it ironic? Titan mentioned that in Sunday school, and he gets to read it too. Increase our faith. Verse 6.
And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed,
uh-huh.
ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea. And it should obey you.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody say, have mercy on me, Lord. Right? Model faithful. F-U-L-L. 2 L's. Model faithful living. Right? 2 quick points. Point number one. Use, when he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, well, he's not necessarily saying that you need more faith. Hear me, church. What he is saying is use the faith that you have right now. Use, it may be small faith. It might even be weak faith. Use it. Use the faith that you have. And then, number two, even the smallest amount of faith can move mountains. Are you listening, church? Speak it. Take your mustard seed faith and speak it. Believe that what you speak will happen. In other words, be fully persuaded. Be a frog. And don't doubt. We've got pandemic mountains. We've got governmental leadership mountains. We've got racial injustice mountains. We've got personal mountains, emotional mountains, health mountains, financial mountains, relationship mountains, spiritual mountains, domestic mountains, work mountains, co-worker mountains, church mountains. But do you know what, church? Them sycamore trees are on their way into the sea. God is about to do some great things in our lives. I know we got some New Maywood Church mountains too. Stop tripping. They are about to be cast into the sea. Speak it. believe it, and into the sea they go. God is going to bring us through. God is going to deliver us. Let's stay. How about this, church? Even in our Red Sea pandemic, etc., situation, why don't you and I, as a church, stay right here with God? For as long as God takes. Why, preacher? Because we know that we are on the path to victory. I said victory. We know that God has promised us the victory. Oh, Lord, increase. Help my unbelief. Increase my faith. Increase our faith. Maybe you're here today and you heard the word of God and you're not yet baptized into Christ. Let me just tell you. God sent Jesus to die on a cross to take your place so that your sins might be forgiven. God intends to deliver you from sin. The only thing that can keep you out of heaven is sin. And God made a way for you to be forgiven of sin. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because if you believe it, then you gotta act like it. Amen. Be willing to repent. Be willing to confess Christ and be willing to be baptized in water. I urge you not to rush past another opportunity. Jesus is passing by and he's bidding you come. In John 8, verse number 24, Jesus himself said, I said unto you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Did you hear that? Now, sin can't go into heaven. So if you die in your sins, if you choose not to obey the gospel based on you believing that Jesus is the Christ, you will die in your sins. But when you obey the gospel, the Bible says God is going to raise you up to walk in the newness of life. See, in obeying the gospel, now Christ died for your sins. Amen. Amen. And you have forgiveness of your sins so you can get in. And the reason I'm taking the time to share this with you is because God wants to deliver you. God wants you. He's preparing heaven just for you. Please choose not to die in your sins, but die in Christ by obeying the gospel of Christ. And church, let our prayer be, help, help our unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase NMCC, New Maywood Church. Increase the faith of our home church. God is a waymaker. He can deliver and he will deliver. Please don't forget. See your crises. See your today crises as tomorrow's faith builders. It's like paying a mortgage, right? Every month you make a payment, and down the road you have equity in the house. Build some equity in your faith for the future by how you view our present circumstances. Our Heavenly Father, Sovereign God, you are all we want. You are all we need. We thank you so, Father, for your precious and powerful promises. And we acknowledge that you are greatly to be praised because of who you are, what you have done. Thank you, Lord. And we confess that we don't know all of the reasons we're facing the crisis, the situations, the Red Sea situations we're facing right now. But your word teaches us that you want to reveal yourself to us in a deeper and in a clearer way. Even while we are in the messy middle of stuff. We pray, oh God, because of our pandemics that we face, that we will know you better. Better than we've ever known you before. That our faith will grow into great faith. We wholly respect you, Father, and we believe you. Help our unbelief. Increase our faith. Have mercy on us, O God, and glorify your name in and through us. For Christ's sake and in his name, we pray. Amen.